If you will, to Ephesians chapter number 1. I want to preach on a subject I've never preached on before. Saved and sealed. Amen. At one time, Brother Reg, I didn't believe you could be sealed.
That's right.
And I started reading the Bible and studying and I found out that I could be.
Amen.
And that I was.
Amen.
So I want to say this morning, you say, well, I don't believe I can be sealed either. Well, if you're saved, you're sealed.
Yep.
Amen. Just put it short to the truth, all right? If you've been saved, then you're sealed.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1 down through verse number 14. Let's stand as we read this today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted into the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Not through our works or what we've done or what we're going to do.
Right.
But we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things at the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that we can read this scripture and just believe every word of it. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, that we're saved this morning and we can know that we're saved and we know that we're sealed by the promise of God. Now, Lord, we just love you today. We thank you, God, what you're going to do in this service. Pray for those that are listening online today that you just touch them. And if they're not saved, I pray, God, that they'd be saved before this message comes to a close today. We just love you and thank you, God, for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. God has saved us. He's one God, but he has three persons. In verses 4, 5, and 6, the Father there is planning our salvation. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verses 7 through 12, we see the Son is purchasing our salvation. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things at the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13 and 14, we see there the Holy Spirit preserving our salvation, in whom he also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, to whom also after you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, as I read that, I began to realize this week that we're saved from bondage by the blood and we're saved for his blessing.
Amen.
When you got saved, it was like you stepped into the grand entryway of a lavish mansion. At first, all you knew was that you were a sinner and you need to be saved. And you knew that Jesus Christ was the Savior who could handle that job for you. But now that you're growing in the Lord, it's like beginning to walk through that mansion room by room. Each door you walk through reveals a new room with more doors to more rooms. You begin to explore and learn the wonders and wealth of the salvation you possess. Today I want to try to continue to open the doors and explore our salvation a little bit further. First of all, the Holy Spirit's involvement in saving us. Notice in verse number 13, there's two words I want you to look at there. Notice the word heard and the word believed. In whom also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctify means to set apart. When you were saved, you were sanctified at that time. I'm not talking about a second definite work of grace. I'm talking about you were sanctified the moment you got saved. Now, you say, I don't understand that. We don't have to understand it. The Bible teaches us that. So sanctify means to be set apart. And the sanctification of the Spirit is the divine appointment, God using circumstances to bring you to the point of salvation. Now, you still had to choose whether or not you would get saved and be saved, but God brought you to that point of salvation. Sometimes we, hard to believe, hard to hear, but the Spirit of God plays a major role in confronting us with the gospel. So first of all, the Holy Spirit calls. Secondly, the Holy Spirit convicts. John 16 and verse number 8 says that when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And so he not only calls us, he convicts us. It doesn't matter how emotional our song service may be. And I tell you, we have some of the best singing in this country here at this church. Bar none, I've been around a little bit. And I can tell you that we have some of the best singing that there is. It doesn't matter how great our preaching is. And we have some good preachers here at this church. It doesn't matter how touching the illustrations are. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction that's real and life-changing in the human heart today. And then the Holy Spirit convinces. Think for a moment about what we're asking people to believe. When we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're asking people to believe that 2,000 years ago, a baby was born to a woman never touched by a man. They lived a perfect life, never sinning even once, died and rose from the dead, rode a cloud to heaven, and returned riding on a horse to fight the devil. And when you put it like that, listen, it's not you and I that convince people. It's the Holy Spirit of God that convinces people about their sins. Secondly, the Holy Spirit's involvement is sealing us. Verse 13 talks about the seal there. It talks about verse 13, whom you have trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, it's not a seal like a seal to a jar or a seal to an engine. It's not a funny water mammal either. We're talking about the seal of the Holy Spirit of God. And a seal in the Bible is a mark or a stamp which has three primary purposes. First of all, it means a finished transaction. If you've ever been to the bank and had something notarized, after it was notarized and the stamp was put on it, the imprint of the seal, it means that something is final. It's legal. You can take it. I say you can take it to the bank, you can take it anywhere, and it's legal, okay? It's a done deal, it's official, and it's legal. And when you got saved, God sealed the transaction. He said, this is done. This is finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, this is finished. The great transaction is done. Think of it as a business transaction. God took all of your sins on your account. He took all your lust, all your greed. He took all your impure thoughts, all your gossiping words, all your habits, all your evil deeds. God took it all and placed it on the account of Jesus Christ. And when he paid the debt, he paid it in full. There's a song that says, paid in full. And I like that old song. I don't remember it enough to sing it, but I like that song. But that's not all of it. It's a two-part transaction. God not only takes your sins and places them on Christ's account, but then he does something even more wonderful than that. He takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and he places that on your account. So it takes your sin, places it upon Christ, and takes Christ's righteousness and places that upon you. Let me ask you a question. What's it take to get to heaven? One word. Anybody know what that is? Perfection. It takes perfection to get to heaven. Amen. You and I don't have that on our account. You can give me that word of perfection. The Bible says that no sin shall enter into the gates of heaven. Well, you say, well, God let me in because he's a God of love. He is a God of love. But he's also a holy God who even turned his back on his own son. But he took our sins upon himself on the cross. And so the only way to get to heaven without Christ is to live a perfect life. I didn't say a good life. I said you must live a perfect life. And that's impossible for you and I to live. Amen. We cannot live a perfect life. Anyone here perfect?
No.
A preacher asked that one Sunday morning in church, if anybody here was perfect. A little man raised his hand along towards the back, and the preacher said, brother, he said, are you perfect? He said, no, I'm not. But he said, my wife's first husband was. He said, I've heard about him for years, how perfect that he was. It takes perfection to get into heaven. If you don't have it, you got to find it somewhere.
Amen.
The place where we find perfection is in the begotten Son of God.
Amen.
It's a gift from God.
Amen.
Only one person can give it, and that's Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7:28. The Bible says there, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Did Jesus purchase perfection for you? You say, well, he died for me. Yeah, but he didn't purchase perfection. When he died for your sins. It wasn't death that purchased perfection. It was his life. He lived the perfect life. You and I can't understand that because we're just filled with sin, okay? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Cathedral Quartet used to sing that song, and George Jones used to sing it. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And he meant that. He knew what he was, because before he got saved, he sang with a different gospel quartet, but after they would sing, he would go out and they would get drunk after the service. And one night he listened to the preaching there, and he said the preaching convicted him, and the word of God convicted him, and the spirit of God convicted him. And he said, I went to the altar there and I got saved. He said, I told that group, he said, I can't sing with you anymore. He said, I'm going to find me somebody that believes in the salvation by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And from then on, he went to the Cathedral Quartet and he stayed with them until he pretty much passed away. You say, he died for me. No, he didn't die for you. He died for you, but he died because of your sin. He lived the perfect life you could not live, and God places that perfect righteousness on your account when you receive the gift of salvation by faith. Jesus lived a perfect life, never sinning even once in thought, didn't sin once in word, didn't sin once in deed. And when he died, he was paying a debt he did not owe, and then he gave you a perfection you do not have and that you don't deserve. In and of yourself, you can't enter heaven, but you're not allowed. You can't afford the cover charge, but now you have a guest pass to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You've come on in. You can come on in. Already been paid for. As a matter of fact, you're a special guest of our host, Jesus. Our salvation is so simple a child can easily believe it and receive it, yet so deep we can never fully grasp just how far-reaching it truly is. I used to think you could lose your salvation. And I began to study and read, and I began to think, you know, that's a shallow thinking. When you begin to think of the depth of what salvation is, if you've been saved, you need to understand that God doesn't see you as a wicked, filthy sinner that's been forgiven. God sees you clothed in the very righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. He sees you through the blood of Christ and sees you justified, just as if I'd never sinned. He sees you as perfect. Come on into heaven. You say, I don't feel perfect. That's because you're not. When we say a Christian views are perfect, we're talking about your judicial standing with God, your legal standing with God. That's called imputed righteousness. You receive it salvation. There's another righteousness called imparted righteousness. And that's righteousness that's lived out in our daily lives. And God is still working on us on that matter. We're all still got a very long way to go, and we'll never fully arrive until we leave this world. But legally, judicially, when you stand before God, you have received the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's a legal transaction that takes place like money changing hands. Your sins are traded for the righteousness of Christ. And then to complete the transition, he seals it with the Holy Spirit. That makes it a finished transaction. The second meaning of seal is that of ownership. Ephesus was the very center of the lumber business in those days. It was located on a river which was used to transport logs from the logging camps to the mill downstream. Each camp would have its own seal stamped on the end of the logs so the mill knew whom to credit. Years ago, my dad had cattle and we branded them with our brand.
Yep.
It was an A and a D hook on the end of that A. for Archie Douglas. I still got that brand there at the house. And the reason we did that, so our cattle could be told apart from others, even if they got away. You say, well, what if I get away from God? Well, the Bible says I'm sealed. The Bible says I'm branded. Now, I didn't believe that at one time. But the Bible says I'm sealed, I'm branded. I have God's brand upon me. God's seal is upon me. It's God's signature. That means I'm property of God. And even if I get away from Him, I'm still one of His sheep. What's the Bible say about His sheep? We know His voice. Yes. And He comes after me. I remember coming home from school once in a while. My dad would talk about the sheep being out and all the sheep wasn't there. And boy, I got to where I hated sheep. After school, I'd get off the bus and I saw Dad come out of the house. He said, there's some sheep that's gone. I'd get me a club about that long and I'd go sheep hunting. I'd find that sheep, sometimes have his head through the woven wire fence. And I'd take that club and I'd just beat that sheep nearly to death. My dad didn't know that. He probably knows it now, but he didn't know it then. I'd come back. He said, you find them? Yep. They all right? Well, sort of. Sort of all right. They wasn't all right. But I'm still one of his sheep. Talking about Jesus. I know his voice. You know the voice of Jesus? If you do, you're one of his sheep. If you do, then you're wearing his brand. If you do, then you have his seal upon you. I want you to think about that. Remember the story of Job. Look at Job chapter 1, verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thought thou made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But he said, put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath. He will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, but not forth thine hand. Satan had asked God permission to touch Job. There was a hedge around him that said, private property, no trespassing. Amen. I want you to think about that. I'm sealed. It's a finished transaction. I'm talking about being a seal out there in the ocean, okay? I'm talking about I'm sealed. It's a finished transaction. I'm his property. Thirdly, the word sealed means security. It's indicated by a seal, much like you seal a letter, but actually more than that. In Matthew 27:66, the Romans put Jesus in the grave, rolled the rock over the entrance, and then sealed it. History says they would take a string on either side held by hot wax, and the seal was pressed in the wax as it dried and hardened. Some might say, yeah, but the seal was broken. It didn't last. How long will the seal of the Holy Spirit last? Look at Ephesians 4, verse 30. It says, until the day of redemption. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. So how long are you sealed? Till you die. After that, you don't need to be sealed any longer. Consider one more thing. Revelation 7, verse 4 says, I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. During the tribulation, God will turn loose 144,000 Jewish evangelists who will attempt to spread the gospel during the tribulation, warning people of the wrath to come not to take the mark of the beast. The tribulation will be the most dangerous time the earth has ever known, as those on earth will come up against everything hell has to offer. It will be a deadly time for many people, especially anyone who's trusted in Christ. How will these evangelists remain safe? Revelation 14:1 says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount of Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Amen. The seal that gets all of them through the tribulation period is the same seal that secures you now, that makes you safe now in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a finished transaction. You're his property. You're secure. But we see the seal, and now here's the promise. I can say today without a doubt in my mind, I know I'll go to heaven. You say, Brother Danny, you're presuming a lot of things. No, I'm not. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 14 talks about the earnest there. He said in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Earnest money means there's more to come. Yeah. I've sold property in the past, and people would come and they would put earnest money down. And that meant that there was more money to come. They didn't pay it all out at once. when the deal was final, then more money would come. That's the way earnest money means here. Earnest is how much you put down, indicates how serious you are. You're not going to sell a house unless somebody put down $5 as earnest money. You're going to say, that ain't going to work. It's going to take more than that.
Yeah.
What did Jesus do? God put the earnest of the Holy Spirit into our hearts. A down payment he would have to forfeit if he reneged on the deal. And in doing so, he was promising us several things in the future. First of all, he was promising us a new home in heaven.
Yes.
Now, the older I get, Brother Reds, the more exciting that sounds to me.
Yes.
I remember down at the church down there where I was raised down there. I remember older folks standing. Brother Stanley Hino was one of them. You stand and talk about how you want to go to heaven. Oh, that is the most stupid statement you could ever make. I was about 10 years old. I didn't understand why you want to go to heaven. Things was pretty good down here. I kind of liked it down here. But he talked about going to heaven, going to heaven, going to heaven, going to heaven. Oh, I said, well, there must be something to it. He wants to go so bad. Man died and appeared before the Lord. All of a sudden, he disappeared. He appeared before the Lord again. He disappeared the second time. It happened the third time. Finally, the Lord asked him, what's going on? He said, sorry, they're trying to resuscitate me. A used car salesman died, went to heaven. They had a balloon parade, confetti, people shouting and screaming. He said, all this for me? They said, of course. He said, we hardly ever get a used car salesman in heaven. We get a new home in heaven. That's exciting. We get a new body. That's real exciting to me.
Yeah.
I tell you something that I never didn't tell anybody. On the way to church this morning, I got sick. Had to stop, not too far from the house. Got out and vomited. Got back in the car, went back to the house, took some medicine so I wouldn't do it again. Although it wouldn't be very good to get in the pulpit, start vomiting up here. But when I think about the new body, I've been dizzy for a long time. Headaches for nearly 5 years. A new body sounds pretty good to this old boy. Sounds pretty good. Someday, I don't know whether I'll be alive when the Lord comes. That'd be good. My first wife passed away before 4 years, I guess, in December. And I thought about maybe being there at the cemetery along with Ramona and watching Myra come forth, and we'd just go right up with her as soon as she comes out of the grave. Wouldn't that be exciting? Now, if you're here and you're 8 or 10 years old, you're probably not even listening to me. It's exciting to this old boy. I turned 73 this year. It's exciting to me. So we'll have a new home in heaven, a new body, a new city. No crime. I guess you know what next month is, don't you? Taxes. Taxes. No taxes. Amen. No taxes. No locks on the doors of our mansions. Something I do every night before I go to bed. I shut the shades and lock the doors. I don't like to shoot anybody in the middle of the night if I can help it. I'd hate to have to do that, but I would if it come down to me or them. So if you're thinking about breaking into my house, you better think again, okay? I've said publicly and online, you're going to get in trouble. A new home, a new body, a new city, a glad reunion, loved ones, friends. We've all got loved ones and friends there in heaven. Oh, what a reunion. Myra's family used to have a family reunion every year. I don't know if they have it anymore or not. Boy, she'd get excited about that because a lot of people, she wouldn't see in her family for another year. And all her sisters would be there. You ain't been nowhere till you've been around her sisters. They're the huggingest bunch you ever seen in your life. First time I met them, here come five sisters of hers. Hug, 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 hug. I thought, what am I getting into? But they hug each other because they love one another. I wonder what it'll be like when we see our loved ones in heaven. Will we be hugging them? I think so. We'll be hugging them. They'll be hugging us. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Eternal joy. Revelation 21 talks about the no mores of heaven. I like what it describes about heaven, what's going to be there, but also what's not going to be there. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more dying, no more sighing, no more funerals, no more nursing homes, no hospitals, no pain, no pain pills. Every morning I get up, my body sounds like a box of Rice Krispies, snap, crackle, pop. Maybe yours are that way, I don't know, but mine is.
Amen.
I think, my, oh my, I must be getting old. And last of all, but not least of all, eternal fellowship with Christ.
Amen.
If the walls of heaven was made out of particle board instead of jasper, I still want to go to heaven.
Amen.
If the streets were not gold but gravel instead, I still want to go to heaven.
Amen.
If the gates were chain link instead of pearl, I still want to go to heaven.
Amen.
If there was a shack there for me to live in instead of a mansion, I still want to go to heaven because Jesus is there. And Jesus makes it heaven for me. Now all the above is promised, and God said, just to make it real to you, just to know that I'm going to give it to you, you can look forward to it. I'm going to go ahead right now and drop in your heart the down payment. The Holy Spirit at that moment became the earnest of your inheritance. It's not presumptuous for you and I to say that we're going to go to heaven if we're saved and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
If you're saved here today, raise your hand. Every hand that was raised, if you were truthful, and not only saved, but you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Don't let the devil lie to you.
Yeah.
He's lied to me. I tell you, nothing but a liar. He's the father of it, the Bible says. We're saved and sealed. Verses 15 through 23. I want to read it, and then we'll close. Verse 15 says, For I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And to put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Amen.
Are you saved?
Yes.
Then you're sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
There'll be a day, 1 Thessalonians talks about there, when Jesus shall come back and the dead in Christ shall rise first, the Bible says. I'd like for you to stand right now. Brother Van, you might want to prepare for a song, if you will. Do you remember the day that you called upon the Lord for salvation?
Yes.
When I talk to people, I ask them that question. Do you remember the time that you called upon the Lord for salvation? And if they remember it, they'll say, yes, I remember. They may not remember where they were or the date, but they remember calling upon the Lord for salvation. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you remember when you were called upon the Lord to be saved, then God saved and sealed you. Once again, don't listen to the devil. He's a liar and the father of lies. I went to the bank that day, had that document notarized. It was a legal document. When I got saved, Jesus sealed me with a legal document. I was saved and sealed. What about you today? You know without a doubt that you're saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. I want to pray that I want you to come as Brother Van sings a song here of invitation. I usually don't give an invitation, but I feel led to today. What about you today? Are you saved? Are you sealed? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt your name written down in heaven? You need to know that. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We just pray, God, that you'd speak to people's hearts here in this congregation. Speak to those that are listening online today. God, you'd touch them and help them to realize, God, their need of salvation and how important it is that they know that they're saved and ready to meet you. Lord, we want to thank you for the fact that we can know that we're saved. We can know that we pass from death into life. The Bible says because we love the brethren. We're just thankful for that promise that we find in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the piano